flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
One more hour to go. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin with you. We got In Case We Missed It coming up at 6:40. Maybe back to some of the Darius Garland conversation we've had as well. But the NFL playoffs are down to the final 4 teams. Oh, yeah, we got some big decisions with the Cleveland Browns. We're going to bring on one of the true great edge rushers of all time to talk about just all of that and so much more. So we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline and welcome on longtime NFL edge rusher, defensive player of the year, the man, the myth, the legend, Sean Merriman.
And Sean's here courtesy of Bet Online.
Sean, to start this, 4 teams left in the NFL playoffs here. We all have our rooting interests here. Who are you rooting for to win the Super Bowl this year?
Well, you know, I'm a former Bills. I'm always going to root for my Bills. But I'm saying it on a good cause, right? I think that they're just playing such a high level of football. Josh Allen is playing out of his mind. And I believe that this is the year that they get over the hump. I really do believe that.
What happens if they don't get over the hump?
It's going to be tough because, you know, you got this window. Look at all the guys, teams that won championships, right? You got this 3 to 4 year window where you got the same quarterback, same coordinator, same players that you got a chance to win at least one up to two between that 4 or 5 year period. What happens if they don't win this year? We're going to see a different team next year. You know, coordinator's going to be gone. Player's going to be gone. And I'm not saying there's going to be a rebuilding year, but now you got to adjust maybe possibly to a new playbook. You got to adjust maybe possibly to a new guy that's on the field that you don't know, you don't trust quite yet. So this is the year they really have to get over the hump. And I think they can, man, because of how they're winning football games. They've been dominant. Josh Allen's been finding targets all over the field. It's not one guy he's throwing to. He's able to find guys, spread the ball around. So you really can't game plan it right now.
Sean, looking to the other side of the AFC bracket here, I know I can't get you to say too many nice things about Patrick Mahomes. You also played in the division with the Chargers and Chiefs and all that. But I'm curious to get your take that there's been this undercurrent of frustration of people who think that the Chiefs, that somehow the refs have it out for the Chiefs, trying to give them every opportunity to win the game. As a former player, what is your take on the idea that the NFL refs somehow take it easy on the Chiefs or give them golden opportunities to steal games?
You know, as a player, you know, you're always told to take the game out of the refs' hands. You don't want them to be the reason you win or lose. But it's getting pretty blatant and obvious now at this point, and we're all watching. And I'm not necessarily too concerned about the refs call. They're going to do what they're going to do. I'm more concerned of just the complaining that's going on by Patrick Mahomes, because he is so great. He is a great quarterback and possibly could go down as one of the greatest, if not the greatest of all time. And so when you see him getting up after every play and looking for a flag, that you don't want to be known as that guy. And I think it's starting to head there to the point where, I mean, the sidelines, he pulled out 2 feet going out of bounds. He got pushed out. He's looking for a flag, right? Come on, I mean, you stop completely inbounds. And the defensive player's job is to get you out of bounds or get you on the ground by any means necessary. Now you're just looking for flags. So when the commentators and broadcasters are now complaining, which they would never happen because they try to stay away from blaming the refs, it's getting pretty blatant now. You just don't want to know that team because it takes away from the greatness of who you guys are. And that's just the unfortunate part of it.
How do you explain Mahomes, though? I think it's fascinating because his numbers and what he's been this year, the offense and what they've been this year, I mean, they won 15 games. They know how to win games. But statistically, their offense is 15th scoring offense in the NFL. They have this great defense, yet Mahomes gets the bulk of the credit.
Yeah, that's the scary part about that team because they haven't been dominant. You know, they've 4 or 5 games this year they probably should have lost. The botched snap against the Raiders, the doink field goal, the field goal block. I mean, there's 4 games that you can recall that they should have lost and they won. And when they get in the playoffs, they're even better because they know how to capitalize off of your mistakes. And that is one thing the Bills are going to have to take note of. You know, there can't be unwarranted penalties, 12 guys on the field, lined up offsides where they're going to take a deep ball or just throw a ball to see if they can get a pass interference call. You got the margin of error now playing against the Chiefs are so small you can't give them anything because they're going to capitalize off of it.
Sean Merriman on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And Sean, we were talking, this is more of, okay, so it's going to start with a basketball thought. One of the Cavs players missed 2 key free throws late in the game. That has led to conversations on, did he choke? Does he lack the clutch gene? So as a former athlete, do you believe in the clutch gene? And if so, is there a player that comes to mind first when you think of it?
Yeah, I do believe that. Because some guys just can't be rattled and there's no moment that's too big for them. So when you see a guy like balling out during the season, having a great season, doing things at ease, and then when the game is on the line, you don't see that player show up, then that is that clutch gene that really separates the guys that's really good into the great ones. Because, yeah, I played against one, Tom Brady. I mean, we knew that we gave him the ball back with 2 minutes or less, that he was going to march down the field and put those guys in position because that's just what he did. And I think the passion holds the same way. It's just that he statistically, it can be terrible. But when that game matters, he needs to ice the game by using his legs or come up with some miraculous play by extending a drive. He finds a way, and that's what separates him from everyone else.
Let me ask you about Jaden Daniels. Obviously, we've done a lot into how great Jaden has been in this rookie season, but is this the greatest rookie season you've ever seen by a quarterback?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I'm not surprised at all because I always felt, and I still feel this way, I think that Caleb Williams is the most talented quarterback that came out in the draft. He's going to do the things that's going to turn your head, extend drives, throw 30, 40 yards, a dart off his back foot. But, you know, he's going to turn around and get sacked the next play or throw, you know, bad plays. He's going to be exciting. I thought Jaden Daniels was the most polished quarterback coming out in this year's draft. Also, no moment is too big for this guy. Like, we've seen him get hit, bleeding from the face, you know, third and long situations, he's laughing and joking on the sideline. It's just nothing rattles this guy. We haven't seen anything like him, I think, in a long time, if ever.
All right, Sean. So speaking, while everybody's talking about the NFL playoffs, we're on draft mode, right? And we had a few conversations this week as Mel Kiper has mocked Travis Hunter, the two-way athlete out of Colorado, to the Browns at 2. Do you think that Travis Hunter will really be able to be a two-way player in the NFL?
Yeah, I think he can. I don't think he needs to play 4-time two-way. But if you don't put him on the field on both sides of the football at some point, I think you're dropping the ball. He doesn't have to do what he did in college by lining up at every single snap. But you got to have some formation, some offensive play calling with him in the mix because he's too good of an athlete to be on the bench. And you know that he can, because he has the stamina, wherewithal for his body to hold up to be able to do it. Now, the difference is the NFL season is much longer. It's much longer than college. And so he's going to have to find out himself and if he can do that the whole time. But I think that keeping him off and just putting him on one side of the football is just really doing the team a disservice.
Sean Merriman here, courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for AFC, NFC title game lines and props, Super Bowl futures, look ahead lines for all four potential Super Bowl matchups. All right, staying with the draft, Sean, I want to ask you if you think the Browns should take quarterback at number two.
They've missed on a lot of these guys. If I'm not mistaken, I think Deshaun Watson came and restructured his deal, and now he's going to miss this year, right? Because he re-injured his Achilles. It's the worst injury, I believe, in sports because you're never the same athlete, no matter who you are. But I also want to say that, you got to take the best player. And that best player at the time is Travis Hunter because, the number one pick, went to someone else at the quarterback position. You don't want to leave a guy that could transcend the game of football like Travis Hunter. I think he is that guy. He is the one that we look at that we may not see another Travis Hunter for a long time. Last time we've seen a guy like that was maybe Charles Woodson, something like, who has the capabilities of playing both sides. But even at that point, I don't think that Charles Woodson can line up at every snap on the offensive side of the ball in the NFL and have much success. Travis Hunter can.
All right, Sean. So I'm actually going to try and make this even more personal for you. For the Browns at two, let's say the Browns think Shedeur Sanders is like a top 16 starter, but maybe not a franchise quarterback. And let's say they really love Abdul Carter, the kid, the edge rusher out of Penn State. What is a more sound decision for you? Solid starting quarterback, which the Browns have not had for about 5 years now, or elite edge prospect in Abdul Carter?
It's so tough. Because as a defensive player, you can get a guy like Carter and get him in on the field, and he can make an instant impact. There's no time; he doesn't have to, even learn the playbook as much. You just put him in a position to go make plays. He can get on and be an instant impact. The longevity of that team and the way the NFL is now, you cannot win without a franchise quarterback. So that they're going to have to. Because I don't know the process of what they're looking at and what's priority or not, but you cannot compete in this day and age without a franchise quarterback, at least to get yourself in the playoffs and further in the playoffs.
Sean, the year that you finished top three in the defensive player of the year voting, you're on a very good Chargers team. You guys won like 14 games. You guys were incredible. So I don't feel like this would maybe apply to you, but what we're seeing with Myles Garrett, it seems like he's going to probably finish third in the DPOY this year on a bad Browns team. Do you feel like he would have won this award had he had the wins attached to the Browns this season?
No doubt. And the biggest thing is, too, to be honest, you need to, first of all, for him to be finishing at that high with a team that's not offensively sound is difficult because as a pass rusher, you can never pin your ears back if you don't know what the offense is doing, right? So for him to cause as much havoc as he has over the course of this period of time and still finish that high in the rankings, it's really impressive, man, because I'd say, and I give a lot of the credit to Phillip Rivers and LT and Gates, those guys, we scored a lot of points in the offense. So when we got up 10-0 or 14-0, we knew the team had to throw the football, and that was my time to shine. I could pin my ears back and go and throw caution to the wind, but he's not in that situation very often. And so for him to still do what he's doing, man, is pretty impressive.
Sean, Miles is eighth right now of active players in all-time sacks. Historically, I think he's like 58th, so he's basically about halfway to Reggie White's ridiculous 198 sack record. Do you think Miles is already a Hall of Famer, or if not, what's the next step? How does he get there from here?
I think he is, and I said that early on in his career that he had the potential. I think that one thing that changed with him, and I didn't like, just me watching from the outside in, I just didn't think he kept the motor on. I didn't think he played hard for four quarters. What he started doing, man, he started to learn what he's capable of doing because he's a freak of nature. I mean, the times he's going down dribbling the basketball down the center and playing with the offensive line, you only do that when you're at an extreme level of confidence and you know your capabilities. And these last couple of years, I think he's found a way to turn that switch on, man, and keep it on.
Sean, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate your time. Enjoy the remainder of the playoff stretch here. Always great to have you on. Thanks so much.
Thanks, man. Make sure you guys download Lights Out Sports TV. We got the East-West Shrine Bowl practices starting this Saturday. It's my free streaming platform that's available on every smart TV, iOS, Android. We got the biggest confirmed list of East-West Shrine Bowl practices ever. So make sure you guys download that. We will be live Saturday, 8:30 in the morning, Central.
Yes, sir. Very much appreciated, buddy. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Sean Merriman on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Great stuff with Sean. We'll react to what he had to say on all things football. We also have to circle back to Darius Garland and the Clutch Gene at 6:22 on 92.3 The Fan. Now that Trent Baalke's been deposed in Jacksonville, it is Adam Schefter saying the two sides are discussing a deal that would make Liam Cohen the next head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I do like that it's Schefter, because Schefter is the same guy that a little over 24 hours ago was reporting how Liam Cohen is taking himself out of that position and out of that running, and he is going to stay in Tampa, and they're going to pay him a bunch of money and throw the bag at his feet, and now he's got to do the walk back 24 hours later.
Folks are saying that the Raiders have yet to officially announce John Spytek, former Browns scout, as their GM, and there's some thought that now that Trent Baalke's been fired in Jacksonville, that Spytek could actually be going to Jacksonville with Liam Cohen, which would actually end up being a pretty decent haul for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I like this for Trevor Lawrence way more than I like the Robert Saleh rumors.
I don't understand the Robert Saleh stuff.
I don't really get it either.
Like, I other than he's a good dude, I just think the Saleh stuff, just go back to San Francisco, be the DC. And wait for a good job.
Yeah.
Like the problem with Saleh is he took a bad job. If you are a first-time head coach, don't take the Jets job. Don't do it.
That's the problem, is that enough people, they feel like if they don't take it off the rip, then they're never going to get another opportunity, and they got to strike while the iron's hot, and they take these bad jobs, and it ends up in just a never-ending evolution of suck for them.
So, with this, Baker's a head coach maker.
That's kind of the conclusion we came to, right?
He's got to be, right? Dave Canales, 1 year with Canales.
Yeah, but the Canales made Geno before that. So that becomes a little problematic.
Liam Cohen bounced from L.A. to Kentucky to L.A. to Tampa Bay.
Are they making Baker, or is Baker making them? I'm not sure. Many argued before that Baker was making Stefanski look as good as Stefanski did.
It's just wild. The amount of turnover Baker Mayfield's had in his career.
He didn't do much for Carolina, did he?
But think back. What was it? Was it four head coaches in his first 3 years?
He always had one more offensive coordinator than he had head coaches, because he doubled up there 1 year.
He's got 2 years. He's the one time that he's had a head coach, play caller, offensive coordinator for more than 1 year. And it's 2020 and it's 2021. 2022, he split between Carolina and the LA team. Then the last year, obviously, it was Dave Canales, and then this year it's Liam Cohen. And who the hell knows? If you're Baker, can I just run the offense? Like, how do you do this?
I think you're just like I don't know. I don't know that answer. He's a great test case for the idea, though, that you should just be able to perform, and it doesn't matter who your OC is or who or how many systems you have to go through.
This is pretty wild. Like, is this a sign that people are like, wow, they're doing what with who? Is this the Ben Johnson? Look what they did with Jared Goff. Is that part of the allure? I mean, Liam Cohen does have the right connections and the bloodlines.
It's kind of insulting to Baker when you think about it that way, though.
Yeah, but that's, We talk all the time about entry point,
mm-hmm.
and it's 100% valid. If you have success with a quarterback that's looked at as spoiled goods, you are more likely to get a job than if you take a prodigal son and fulfill the prophecy.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even go as far as say spoiled goods. Like C.J. Stroud, for instance, was just an unknown.
Yeah.
And so because he's an unknown, even at the number 2 overall pick, Bobby Slowick does something with him, and then all of a sudden he becomes the hot name.
I'm actually surprised that Liam Cohen got a job before Bobby Slowick.
I think, Bobby's reputation took a hit this last year in an interesting way. I don't think it's his fault, but he took a hit, and I agree with you. I thought last year, it was Bobby Slowick and Ben Johnson, and they were going to be the next two off it, and Liam Cohen wasn't even on my radar, although he continues the trend of anyone that ever got Sean McVay a cup of coffee getting a job.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
I did. Okay. This is one of my points with the Rams having a good year and the 49ers not.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right?
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is that the that pendulum was going to swing back the other way?
Yeah.
It's not a good time to be a former Shanahan acolyte. Yeah. Whereas if you have waved high at him in like a Monday morning meeting, you at Sean McVay, you're going to be sitting pretty good right here.
Well, and Kevin O'Connell helped out a lot too. You know, I mean, we obviously like before and Zach Taylor kind of jump started a lot of that. But yeah, Kevin O'Connell just got that extension. That's a big year in Minnesota. That was a big year for the McVay tree. That McVay tree is really building out there, isn't it?
It really is. And it doesn't have, like, the Shanahan one, it's not looking good. Like, McDaniel's probably the best, but you've got the Salas. You've got, I'm trying to think who else has kind of been a part of that. It feels like he's just, LaFleur. Oh, wait.
No, LaFleur is McVay.
I think he's both.
Oh, there might
wasn't
be, there
he
might be
wasn't
crossover
he the OC
there.
Or the quarterback's coach for with Shanahan in Atlanta? What an incestuous situation we have
I
here.
Know when he got hired from Green Bay, or to Green Bay, he came from McVay. I don't know prior to that, though.
So, what do you have there, Mac?
So, he was the quarterback's coach with Shanahan in Atlanta, then went to be the OC with McVay in 2017.
And then it was Tennessee, right?
Yeah, then it was Tennessee for a year.
So, who claims him? Or do they both? Is it like you can both get credit for it?
Which one gets him on the weekends?
There's got to be a rule on that in like NFL circles. Like,
is it
like
first plays in LA? That's why he went to Tennessee.
Yeah, but is it like first one to be able to like almost be around him? Like, that's why like Stefanski will get credit for Tommy Rees, whatever Tommy Rees ends up doing. Or is it the most recent before you become a head coach? Like, does Vrabel get credit? Is that how that works?
Well, okay, in most of the places I've seen, if you've coached for somebody, you're part of their tree. So that means you would hypothetically be able to be a multiple tree.
Well, by the way, on Tommy Rees, did you hear the names he was throwing around as like crediting him for opening up his eyes today?
No.
Sirianni. Oof. He was like Sirianni in what they showed me in 2016. It was Sirianni and it was Shane Steichen. And they worked together with Sirianni's first year in Philadelphia. But it was like that. He was like all these instrumental coaches and all these like Saban, all these guys he's been around. And he was like, Nick Sirianni and Shane Steichen opened my eyes. And I said, oh, no.
Maybe his eyes were just really closed.
I said, apparently.
Or maybe he was getting ready to open them and it was just whoever was in front of them. It's like if a baby bird sees you first, they imprint upon you. Maybe that's Liam Cohen with those goofballs.
Wild.
First season after LASIK.
That's, you know what?
The old Jameis.
All of a sudden, his eyes are back. Okay, so let's look at the four
People
hires.
Really convinced themselves that Jameis Winston was going to be awesome after LASIK surgery. And it was like a real thought people had.
Not just that. It was the Deshaun Watson. He's not Deshaun Watson glow up. He had one good game after the Deshaun injury, and everybody's like, I never doubted him. And I'm like, okie dokie there. Like, it's fine for the average Browns fan who has not seen Jameis Winston play. Like, we get swerved by, like, local fans get swerved by quarterbacks all the time. But when the national media is like, I think he can do it.
I want to know how bad his eyes were, though. I ever tell you, when I was a kid, I was like 10 years old, and I went in like a slump playing baseball. And my mom was like, this isn't like you. Because when I was younger, up until about
the real slugger.
Up until about 13. When I got to be 13 and we expanded out the field and everything like that.
I heard that about 12-year-old Peterlin.
Yeah, you know, I could hit the slow stuff, couldn't hit the fast stuff as well. So I dominated basically up until the age of about 12 or 13. And I went on a slump, and then my mom was like, maybe I need to get you checked for glasses. And that's when, no joke, that's when they found out that I had just miserable eyes.
Really?
Because I went on like a five-game slump at 10 years old.
I like the idea that we went that deep wild. On a little league slump. That's when you know.
She was like, you're not hitting the ball, and this is not like you. What's going on?
He's back. He's a 315 hitter, okay? He is not a punch
please,
and Judy.
Please.
I mean, he's
10 years
slap
old.
Hitting right now. Like, 10
years
what
old,
are we doing?
You're hitting like 650 at 10 years old.
I was an 800 hitter.
You just rake at that age.
So here are the four hirings that that are as confirmed.
Yeah.
The Schottenheimer thing I'm not putting in there because that's – There are other reporters saying that's still open. It hasn't been finalized.
Yeah. By the way, you end up on your father's tree if he gives birth to you. That one puts you there.
Hmm.
Schottenheimer.
Oh, okay. It's
like nepotism like, attached to all of it. You give birth to the guy. He's on your tree.
Think about our fathers. I'm like, well, what tree am I on?
You think about our three dead dads.
Three dead dads coming to fall. Chuck Lorre. This CBS is what I almost said. My dads are dead. Leave me alone.
Hey, those ratings kill on CBS.
That's true. They killed our three fathers.
Yep.
The Jets: Aaron Glenn, Bears: Ben Johnson, Pats: Vrabel, Jags: Cohen. I kind of really like the Aaron Glenn thing. If not for the fact it's the Jets, I kind of think that's my second favorite hire.
Do you like Ben Johnson? I like Ben Johnson. I don't know that I like hearing Ben Johnson. I'll say that.
Somebody called him Kirk Cousins' older, nerdier brother or something to that equivalent. It was on Twitter. I forgot it. It was like 12 hours ago. I couldn't sleep last night.
So if Ned Flanders had a brother?
Yeah, but like a more Flandery. Ooh. Ned Flanders.
He's on Breakfast Ball on Fox Sports 1 doing all sorts of like timeout motions to Danny Parkins. Like
no,
it's just
I think
it's
I'm
off
out.
To such a bad start.
I actually think I'm out on Ben Johnson.
Well, I have wondered if is he making it or do they just have so many offensive weapons that basically anybody could go ahead and make them awesome.
So I'd never seen him without a hat, strike one.
I've never seen you without a hat, except for our photo that is everywhere.
Yeah, that is awful. Thank you for that, by the way. Thank you for that picture retake, Keith. Really appreciate that. Yeah, glad.
The only time I've never seen you with a hat.
Is there any time?
Is the most visible photo to everyone else.
Is there any time we could actually get somebody who could shoot me at a level where it doesn't look like I'm just this side of Phelps? Anybody? Right? It's the same thing with like when you go to take your picture at the DMV.
Was that a shot at Phelps or is that an accepted blow? Mac, I need a ruling on this one.
Blow. I think that's an accepted blow.
Jeff right. would accept that blow himself.
Easy. Clip it.
But when you go to the DMV, they don't put that sucker up at the 6'4" level. So you look like, I look like Tommy Boy, like looking down.
Do you shrink down for the photo?
No, I can't do that. No,
do you do that?
No, I can't.
I've never had this issue. I'm 6'1" I've never had this issue.
I should do like the little like.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. No, that's going to look even worse because my face is going to get fatter.
Well, and then you look like you have like a million necks.
But the guy, that's already a problem.
I was trying to stop myself.
Thank you. But the guy who took the picture was like 5'8". I'm like, the angle is just going to shoot over my head.
Yeah, you got to shoot down.
And so I'm still not over that. I forgot what we were saying. So I never saw him without a hat. And then two, it was a little Eastern European dictator, the walking into Hallis Hall. Okay, back to work. The whole shtick, it killed me. I think he's just a math nerd.
Anyone ever gone into a facility and got the round of applause like that and it worked out awesome?
Do we have
video of somebody doing that and being great?
It's 0-1, because the only one I know of is Hugh.
I mean, I remember Hugh did it. I remember the Titans did it in the past couple years.
Is it malarkey? That feels like a malarkey move.
I think it was malarkey.
It was funny, because malarkey was already in the building.
and that's
they made
really...
him walk out and walk back in. Oh, my God, so good to see you!
It's just such a bad move. It just never works.
Dennis saying, isn't McVay under the Shanahan tree? Ooh, so does that mean Shanahan gets all credit for McVay's hires then?
No, because Gruden in Washington gets all the credit for McVay.
Are they not technically both under the Mike Shanahan tree?
because they both coach in Washington?
Like, that's the start of it. That's the start of it. It's got all of them on that. It's got all of them on that same little branch.
Why haven't we gotten a Mike Shanahan redux? Right? He's old as hell. Like, if you're gonna hire Pete Carroll, why not crotchety old Mike Shanahan there?
That might be a Shanahan issue.
Might be a Mike Shanahan issue.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. How do we feel about Liam Cohen? You got a date with Liam on Wednesday, baby. Also, what does this mean for Baker Mayfield in case we missed it? It's called Big Lebowski. Why don't you go ahead and watch it someday? Have some
class. I thought it was a half-assed Dusty Rhodes. My bad.
Yeah, that actually tracks as well, in case we missed it, next on 92.3 The Fan.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.